Oh, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Isn't it good that we can gather together again, even though there's such a large amount of panic going around, and with the lockdown in Auckland, of course. So, as a quick side note before we get started, I stumbled across a clip of a pastor this week, and he was proclaiming the importance of church, and he made the point that we all die eventually, and we can't really prevent that, can we? But in times of distress, it's all the more important to proclaim God's message of life rather than eternal death. So I just thought that was a nice point to share with you. So, back to the task. I don't know if I've ever given an exhort based around the daily readings. Typically it's a thought I've been chasing from readings in a previous week or some other thought. So be a bit of a test today. As a bit of a forewarning, some of the things we've looked at, we will look at this morning. They're very similar to my last exhort, but I think it's a great theme. So, I want to take a look at this incident of the withered fig tree from our daily reading in Mark 11. And not a symbolic look at it all, and not related to the nation of Israel and prophecy. Rather, I just want to take a look at the practical message that's directly set out for us. So I'm just going to read us through that section of Mark 11 as a refresher and just try and listen out for what we're being taught in this on face value. So Mark 11, I'm going to start at verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus became hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing except leaves, because it wasn't the season for figs. So he told it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." Now his disciples were listening to this. So this is the first half of the story, and we read after this that they spend a day in Jerusalem where Jesus cleansed the temple. And picking back up on the return journey, in verse 20. While they were walking along early the next morning, they saw the fig tree dried up to its roots. Remembering what Jesus had said, Peter pointed out to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has dried up." Jesus told his disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you with certainty, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' if he doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes, then what he says will happen. It will be done for him. That is why I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand up to pray, forgive whatever you have against anyone, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins." And there's one more bonus verse that we believe was added at a later date to some translations, but it fits with the message. So verse 26. "But if you do not forgive your Father in heaven, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins." So, with this story fresh in our minds, let's consider a question. On face value, why do we think Jesus caused the fig tree to wither? Well, maybe if we were to ask our Sunday school class, or we look at it on face value, I think the answer is quite simple, isn't it? We're told Jesus was hungry and the tree had no fruit. Was some anger involved? Was it a symbol of something greater? Well, maybe so. But a more important question might be, why was this incident recorded in the Bible to be read by us and generation after generation of Christians? Well, as mentioned earlier, we could go off on the path with the fig tree being a symbol and how it ties into the nation of Israel. But we could also look at the practical lesson that is right in front of us, which is what we have when Jesus, he uses this story to teach us an important lesson in verses 22 through to 26. So the very first comment Jesus has when he responds to Peter is, "Have faith in God." And Jesus goes on to explain that if we have absolute faith, then what we ask God will happen. An example he gives is of a mountain being lifted up and thrown into the sea. And that with faith, and no doubt in our hearts at all, that it becomes possible. Now clearly there's some criteria to that. I don't see many people asking for mountains to be lifted up and thrown into the sea. And this criteria, we're going to take a look at it in a minute. So we only have rare examples where strong faith like this is displayed. We could maybe think of Daniel in the lion's den, and the time when Peter, he attempted to walk on the water to go to Jesus. And we do have other examples, but they're rare. And often, when these things happen, it's God that meets us partway. He knows our lack of faith, and he meets us. And I can only imagine that things like this, they may still happen today, but in more subtle ways that serve God's purpose, not our own. So we could go on with that thought, but let's... I can't keep you here all day, and I can't keep you awake all day, so let's move on anyway. So the next pearl of wisdom that Jesus has to share with us is in verse 24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This just follows on from the last idea, doesn't it? But boy, oh boy, how hard it is to believe that something will happen. So I ask for things all the time. But again, if it's not with belief, it means nothing, does it? Should we ask for specific outcomes? Should we ask for mountains to be thrown into the sea? Should we ask for God to make something and someone else do something? Well, we can certainly try, can't we? But there's more to it, isn't there? So the next verse, I think, brings us all together and maybe highlights what we can and what we need to do. But before we look at it, have you ever heard the phrase, with great power comes great responsibility? It's something Spider-Man said. And there's many different variations of this phrase, isn't there? Many older variations. But in essence, we as followers of Christ, we can ask for all manner of things, but, and that's a very big but, we're given guidance on how to ask for these things. So let's look at verse 25, the crux of the matter, where we read, whenever you stand up to pray, so pause for a second, this is the action. Now what's the criteria for praying? Whenever you stand up and pray, forgive whatever you have against anyone, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. Well, this is very interesting. It seems that the only requirement Jesus sets out here is forgiveness. So if we say to a mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, the criteria Jesus has set out is forgiveness and belief. So let's take this key idea of prayer and forgiveness. Let me ask you a question. Who benefits most from prayer? Is it maybe the person we pray for that benefits most? Is it God that benefits from our prayer? You probably know where I'm going with this, don't you? Maybe, just maybe, the one who benefits the most from prayer is ourselves. What about forgiveness? Who benefits the most from forgiveness? Is it the person we forgive? Is it God? Well, I think you guessed it. I believe each one of us, we benefit the most when we forgive someone else, don't we? I believe the Bible very strongly makes this the case. And we have many occasions we can look at. But one example we can take a look at will be Romans 8. And we're just going to take a quick read from 31 and 32. What then can we say about all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? The one who did not spare his own son, but offered him as a sacrifice for all of us, surely will give us all things along with the son, won't he? We see that Jesus died for our sakes, to set an example for us in so many different ways that we may be forgiven. And he's given us examples of forgiveness and prayer. But what about some non-biblical examples? So there have been a number of studies on this, and I dug up a few from America. In one study by the National Institute of Health, they found that individuals who prayed daily were shown to be 40% less likely to have high blood pressure than those without a regular prayer practice. Another one, research at the Dartmouth Medical School, they found that patients with strong religious beliefs who underwent elective heart surgery were 3 times more likely to recover than those who were less religious. Other studies show that prayer boosts the immune system and helps to lessen the severity and frequency of a wide range of illnesses. And the same goes for forgiveness. A paper titled The Psychology of Forgiveness mentions that those who forgive have less negative effects such as anxiety, depression, and hostility. And the list goes on and on and on. You get the picture. Is this a coincidence? I think not. The Bible tells us, time and time again, to pray always without ceasing and forgive all. Does it tell us this because God needs prayer and other people need forgiveness? Oh, I don't think so. I think we've been told this because our God, He knows what is best for us. And this, it's a massive gift we have from our God and the teaching we have in His Word and in His Son Jesus. So, looking back to our key verse in Mark 11, verse 25. Whenever you stand up to pray, forgive whatever you have against anyone, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. We sort of know why we need to pray and why we need to forgive. But what about how? How do we pray and how do we forgive? I think each one of us, we need to come to our own conclusions, don't we? But I want to share one thing that I've found helpful, at least with prayer anyway. And that's to pray with open-ended requests. Just like I've been told to, in a conversation, you ask open-ended questions. It allows the other party room to respond and to keep the communication open. But let's take a look at some solid advice from Jesus, where he gives us a couple of tips and an example prayer in Matthew 6, also known as the Lord's Prayer. So I'll just read it out if you want to listen in, or feel free to turn it up. So in Matthew 6, and starting in verse 5, whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they will be seen by people. I tell you with certainty, they have their full reward. Whenever you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is hidden, and your Father who sees from the hidden place will reward you. So the first tip for our personal prayer is to pray in a secret manner. Maybe take the example of children, or much like Nehemiah, who prayed in the spur of the moment when he was questioned by King Artaxerxes. He offered prayer in what would have been seconds, maybe even something as simple as, Lord, help, or please guide me. I found children, they do a similar thing, don't they? Their prayer is often very simple, but very profound. So with that first bit of advice, to pray in quiet and make it personal between you and God, what about the second piece of advice from Jesus in verse 7? When you are praying, don't say meaningless things like the Gentiles do, because they think they will be heard by being so wordy. This bit of advice, it leads on from the last one, to not pray our personal prayers out loud. But it tells us to cut out the rubbish, to stop the waffle. Instead, we need to say what we mean, to be concise. And the Lord's Prayer is an excellent example of this, isn't it? It's a very concise prayer. It covers all of the basics. And specifically, thinking on today's topic, it addresses forgiveness. So in verse 12 of Matthew 6, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Jesus not only tells us how to ask for forgiveness, he reminds us that we need to forgive others as well. After giving this example prayer, Jesus goes on to stress the importance of forgiveness in verses 14 and 15. Because if you forgive people their offences, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their offences, your Father will not forgive your offences. So with these words from Jesus, let's consider some final scattered thoughts. It can be incredibly hard to have faith in low times, and prayer may often seem unanswered. But we've learnt that prayer with faith, it can give incredible results. And the criteria to prayer being answered, is forgiveness of others, and in turn, forgiveness of ourselves. So, when we take the bread and wine this morning, let's remember the example that Jesus has set out for us, and especially reflect on the forgiveness that we can offer others, and the forgiveness that we are blessed with through the life of Christ, his death and his resurrection.